The letter of James. I will begin at verse 17 of the first chapter of the book of James. Hear the word of the Lord. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any of you are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they look like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think that they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. I want you to think about a definition for the word tacit. That is the name of the sermon, tacit discipleship, with a question mark. So I want you to think about it. If you know the word tacit, it means basically to be silent. And that actually was my first answer when I thought about it. But actually, I did look it up. And the first definition that's listed in the Random House Dictionary is a much more profound one. Quote, tacit: understood without being openly expressed or implied. The next definition, unvoiced or unspoken. And then, in the next definition, it says being silent. So the related word, there's a related word, it's called taciturn, and that's another adjective that is derived from the root, and it also describes a person who is inclined to silence and reserved in speech. Taciturn. And this is the description that I personally feel very close to when I read these words of James' letter. James tells us in verse 19 that we must be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. That, to me, along with many of the more references in this passage, is the meaning of taciturn and therefore the sermon, tacit discipleship. In a musician's world, the word tacit appears in choral or orchestral music in places where the composer has chosen not to have an instrument play or a section of a choir sing. Obviously, it's meant to have them be silent, allowing for other sections to create the listening experience for the audience. It is not that the section who has been requested to be silent isn't capable of playing the part, but only that it is time to defer to the other musicians to tell the story of the music. It's a planned silence of deference and reverence to those who can also be a part of telling the story. A planned silence of deference and reverence for others to tell the story. There's a certain admiration for those who can be silent for a time to let others shine and open up a new window of experience for the listening audience. If all of the instruments and all of the choristers play and sing their best and their loudest, each trying to impress with virtuosity and volume, the message of beauty becomes a cacophony of and the bombardment of sound. Musicians can speak beautifully with their voices and their instruments, as Alexa did this morning. Thank you. But when they are tacit, it is also to allow others to speak beautifully with their own voice. In verse 17 of James, there is a reference to the Father of lights, the lights that pertain to either angels or stars, if you look to find the meaning. There's a reference there, the Father of lights, either angels or stars. I tend to gravitate to the stars reference, given the rest of the sentence, which describes no variation or shadow. You might be familiar with the Robert Frost poem, Choose Something Like a Star. It was put to music in a standard piece of choral literature by Randall Thompson, Choose Something Like a Star. And the lyrics of that poem tell a one-sided conversation with a star, asking for words of wisdom and guidance. It's filled with notation, profound notations of how the star communicates. They communicate only in darkness to shine. It communicates only in shining steadily, but quietly. The human in the conversation chastises the star for being so taciturn, so silent. But in the end, it is the star's loftiness and steadiness that becomes a message in itself for us as humans to emulate. James refers to the Father of Light having gifted us, his children, with the opportunity to give to each other with generosity. That in itself becomes the very bedrock of discipleship. As followers of Christ, we are from our very, very first breath endowed with the spirit of truth, of belonging, and love. And James tells us that it's implanted in us and buried in the soil of our soul. It is innate to our being. The way we foster that spirit and allow it to emanate from us in our lives results in the above-ground fruits which we produce. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The fruits of the Spirit, the above-ground fruits of the Spirit that is ingrained in us. The remainder of the passage for today gives us guidelines as to how we can develop those fruits in healthy ways. We are asked to be doers of the word, but before we become the doers, we are implored to listen. And listening requires silence. How many of the teacher friends that I have in here have been a standard phrase, if your mouths are open, your ears are not? The writer asks of us to be hearers of the word, being spiritually attentive to the perfect law for whatever it has to say to us and whatever stage of life we are hearing it. James asks us to take heed against loud, unbridled religiosity, claiming that its volume is worthless to anyone who is trying to listen to us. Verse 26. If any think that they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Interesting. He calls us to be attentive as to how we see ourselves, as opposed to how we present ourselves to the world. Make sure that the mirror of our lives stays with us every day of the week. Looking in a mirror requires introspection and then elocution. It requires no speech, just enlightened thought. It takes the kind of inner dusting off of our faith practices so that he can be presented to the world unstained and in their original form given to us by the life and the words of Jesus. This is what looking in a mirror does. It helps us to dust off the teachings. Tacit discipleship is not that of never, ever opening our mouths. It is a purposeful, educated, implanted sense of giving our best vision and version of Jesus Christ's saving grace to the world. That may or may not include a loud demonstration of what we are convinced is true. According to James, it is a quiet, mostly silent expression of what we are drawn by the Holy Spirit to do. Actions most definitely do speak louder than words. I'd like to share with you a definition of discipleship that was adopted many years ago by the RCA Commission of Christian Discipleship and Education. Actually, even before I served on that committee. That particular definition has been lost in the shuffle of changing leadership since then, but here it is, because it's very close to my heart. Please listen to the number of action words as opposed to speaking words. Discipleship is the practice of following Christ, becoming more like him in all we think, say, and do, empowered by the Holy Spirit to a lost and broken world so loved by God. Discipleship is the practice of following Christ, becoming more like him in all we think, say, and do, empowered by the Holy Spirit to a lost and broken world so loved by God. Tacit discipleship is more often speaking louder with, Tacit discipleship is more often speaking louder with our actions than with our mouths. Star disciples are those who are bright beacons of wisdom who emulate the gospel of the love of Jesus Christ, enlightened by the Spirit that gives them their strength and guidance. As we use the rest of this time in worship this morning, let's look into the mirror of our spiritual personage. Let us look to see in that mirror the gift that's been given to us by the true Father of Light and implanted in us at our birth. Let us look for his guidance in seeking to become a more tacit in our hearing and in our doing of his word. May we all go out into the world with that mirror image that presents a star disciple to the world, one of steadfastness that provides a beacon of hope and light to the world, to a lost and broken world in many respects, but always loved by God. In the name of God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. God of grace, God of glory, help us now in the silence to feast on your word and the word that you have for us in our hearts today. Dear Lord, help us to see us in your mirror. Help us to see clarity and brightness and brilliance and purpose. And God, be with us as we leave, so that we can reflect all of the glory that you shine from within us. In your name, amen.